الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واعلموا أن الله يعلم ما في أنفسكم فاحذروه واعلموا أن الله غفور حليم وقال تعالى في مقام آخر يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وقال عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين My respected ulama, elders, brothers in Islam, inshallah this is just a muzakara, some advices I had read of Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib, Daun Barakatuh, she had given a while ago, when read through it, in one kitab it comes, so I thought it's very wonderful for myself as a muzakara, as a reminder. Normally in every language you get a word called an acronym. Acronym means a short word, and every letter has got a bigger meaning. For example, we know you go to CNA, Central News Agencies, there's a meaning of it. SPCA, every letter has got the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. In every language you get these. In the Urdu language there is one word called Dushman. So they say a person has got four Dushmans, four enemies. The Dal is for Dunya, the first enemy is Dunya. Sheen is for Shaitan. Meem is for makhluk-e muhabbat, the love of the makhluk in creation. And noon is for nafs, desire. Four enemies a person has got. So in every language, so Hazrat Mawlana mentioned that in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَحْذَرُوا. That Allah, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is in your nafs. So be wary, be watchful, take care. So Hazrat said the word watch. This Islah Jalsah is for us to take a watch, to take care of ourselves. So watch is made of five letters. W-A-T-C-H. So these are five aspects or a few aspects which every person should look into himself and watch and be very, very careful and very, very wary. The W stands for your worst enemies. And our worst enemy is not any enemy, not a person, the kuffar and disbelievers. Our worst enemies are nafs and shaitan. So the first, we should be very, very careful and watch nafs and shaitan. Number two, as I said, A is for actions. Everyone has to look into his actions, the actions which he is doing in his life. A person has to be watchful over his actions. Before doing the action also, a person has to be careful. After doing the action also, a person has to be careful. What's sincerity, ikhlas, is he doing the action correctly or not? So our actions. And we can add to A also, anger. A person must check up his anger, be very, very careful. That's one action also, but special importance is given to it, because this is a quality generally found in us. T, our time. A person has to be very, very careful how he spends his time. Look after our time. Watch our time. And the word watch also means watch. It shows, checks a person's time. So you're watching your time with a watch. So T is for time. T is for thoughts. A person has to be very, very careful about his thoughts. What is he thinking about? And number three, T is also for talking. What is a person talking? What is a person speaking? What is a person saying? How much of control and care and trigger and concern has he got about his speech? C refers to company. A person's company. Every single person must watch and be very, very careful of his company. And the last one is H. H refers to the heart of a person. A person has to be constantly careful and watchful over his heart. So inshallah, from these five, we will just discuss a few aspects of them. The first one that mentioned was our worst enemy is nafs and shaitan. What normally happens, as I'm speaking for myself, Allah give myself the tawfiq and ability, is that normally a person, he gets some fikr and concern for deen. A person comes into some effort of deen, he becomes an alim of deen, for example, or he goes in tabligh jamaat, he gets some change in his life, or a person goes to a khanka and he's sitting in the company of the mashayikh and the buzrugani deen.
So after some while now, he gets the outward form of deen. He gets the kurta, he gets the turban, he got a beard, he got some aspects of deen. So now he thinks, I am very, very pious. And one great harm when a person doesn't care about his nafs, watch his nafs all the time. Eventually a person now starts getting bad gumani, bad thoughts, evil thoughts about other people. And especially it happens, for example, a person has got some piety. So it becomes very, very easy now for a person to start looking at the faults of other people, at the faults of other ulama. And this is something very, very harmful. It can destroy a person completely. Normally we find many, many people who outwardly are very far from deen, but they've got a lot of respect for the outer people. And sometimes, many times we find, because of respect, Allah Ta'ala gives them a very, very good mot. There was one person from Durban, and he was a normal, ordinary person. He used to sell calendars, going around wrapping, selling calendars. So Allah Ta'ala, what Allah gave him, he took his whole family, he went for Umrah. He took his children and his grandchildren, and they went for Umrah. And when he went for Umrah, it was a day of Jummah most likely. He made tawaf of Kaaba Sharif, he was doing his Umrah, he made a tawaf. And after the tawaf, you can't read your two rakats of Salah. So he sat down behind Maqam Ibrahim, he lifted up his hands to make dua, and he passed away in this condition. What a mort. His whole family was sitting next to him, behind him. So somebody asked his wife, they asked his family members, that what qualities your husband had. So she said, my husband, this is the family member, said there's two qualities he had. One is that he, whenever people were sitting and talking about other things of this world, ghibah, backbiting, he never used to like those gatherings. He used to wake up and go out. And he would take the Quran Sharif, and he had a lot of love for Quran Sharif. So he would sit and read Quran Sharif. This is one quality he had. He never used to sit and waste time, speak about bad about other people. And the other quality which he had was that he would never do anybody down in business. He would never cheat anybody in business. Because normally a person outwardly gets some outward aspect of deen, but he's still in his monetary matters, he's very, very deceiving, sinister, and a lot of harm he causes to people. So this person was very, very careful. Many times he would let go of things, he would lose out. Never mind, I'll lose out, but I will never ever deceive somebody, as we have done now in mu'amalat, our business dealings. May Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq to be very, very careful about these matters. So anyhow, he had these qualities. So as I was mentioning, sometimes a person doesn't have, and he looks up, he doesn't have so much of deen in his life, but he looks up to people of deen. He has respect for them, and because of this, he goes very, very far. I will mention to you one incident by which we can take a lot of lesson. This I saw witness personally myself. In our area, there was one person, and he was living with his wife. Maybe also he used to have a lot of fights with his wife, and sometimes he used to beat her up on hit her also. And he had a brother, younger brother, and his brother was unfortunately went onto the wrong path. He started taking drugs. But of a wrong path, he eventually landed up in jail. Then he came out of jail. His brother was, mashallah, doing some fikr of deen, some effort of deen. So he used to also encourage his brother to go out in jamaat. His brother went out in jamaat a couple of times. But anyhow, he used to come home. So this brother, firstly, there was no parda in the house. There wasn't any hijab in the house between brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws. And this is very, very harmful. Many a times a person feels that I don't need to make, why are we so hard? The ulama are so hard about this here. But remember shaitan, how he plays with a person. Especially in today's times, so one lady writes one article. She says that, you know, my family, my husband, and he used to call his friends home, husbands and wives, they used to sit together, talk, have discussions, and we used to always sit, and I used to feel very, very uncomfortable. Sometimes the discussions used to go a bit higher, and they used to speak about one another's private parts and some very sensitive matters. I felt very uncomfortable, but anyhow, they used to have this in our houses, but I wasn't very, very happy about it. So one day, and they used to speak about these things. One day I get a phone call. So when I answered the phone, my husband's friend phoned me. So I said, I'm sorry, my husband is not here at the moment. Can you phone back a bit later? So he says, no, that's why I phoned you now, because I know your husband is not at home. I would like to come and spend some time with you. So she got a shock of her life. She said, are you crazy or what? I'm a chaste woman. I'm going to tell my husband about this. So the man told her that, don't worry, you can ask your husband about what he's doing with the other people's wives. So she said, this man, you're crazy, and she put the phone down. But after a short while, she found out that really her husband was having some affair, some other evil with another person. It came out, she spoke to her husband, and her husband, eventually he had to agree, he admitted to it. It led to a strain in their marriage. And then she told her husband, she said, just like how you think you can do all evil, don't worry, I also got a call, and I also can do the same thing. So this man got a shock of his life. He said, what, my best friend? How could my best friend do something like this to me? Remember, nafs is with every single person. A person must never ever trust himself, because this is how nafs it can finish a person. So sometimes you're sitting in these gatherings, men and women talking together, laughing, joking, that shaitan plays with a person, nafs plays with a person. So anyhow, this uncle here, he sometimes used to bring his wife, leave her in the house. Sometimes he used to leave the house for business or some other things. Sometimes going the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, leave his wife with the brother-in-law. And because he used to sometimes oppress his wife, he turned it. So this woman, she used to take solace in her brother-in-law. So once, after some time, she told her husband that, you see, this child is not your child, it's your brother's child. After they had some fight, and the child must have been about 5 years old. So she said, this is not your child, this is your brother's child. So he got the shock of his life. They must have went and did some test. And anyhow, it was proven that it was true. It wasn't his child, it was his brother's child. So he was very, very disheartened. He gave his wife the talaq straight away. And he was very, very hurt. He got married eventually, but he passed away after some time, Allah give him Jannatul Firdaus. His wife said for iddat, and then she got married to the brother-in-law. This person, he changed his life. He made tawbah, became a sincere Muslim. And then, mashallah, then eventually, but he was living in the town, and everyone was putting him down, and people were looking bad, it's obvious. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says that, remember, he says that, tarkul khatiya khayrun min mu'alajat tawbah. Living out of a sin is better than making tawbah afterwards. If a person has made a sin, he can make tawbah, no problem. But remember, whatever sin you do in your life, people won't forget it. People will remember it. Whether it's right or wrong for people to remember it, that's a different story. But in the Quran Sharif, Allah says, وَكَانُ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Allah is very, very forgiving. Allah is Rahim. Rahim is the quality of Allah's rahmat in akhirat. In this dunya, if a person has done wrong, many times people won't forget. The harmful consequences of it will not be forgotten. And many, many times a person has to go through it in this dunya. Allah will forgive him. Example, a person went, he spent one half of Quran Sharif. Some of his friends encouraged him that you must see this film. And he used to send him all his pornography. So eventually one day he was tempted, he started watching it. And unfortunately then he fell into the guna, he started watching more and more. His passions overcame him, so he decided one night, let me go and see what these people, they are enjoying themselves. It's very, very nice, this scene. So he told his father, I want to go to spend the night one night by my friend's house. Father gave him permission. He was a very good boy, very chaste boy. So one night of his life, he went to the wrong environment, wrong people. And unfortunately, he spent his time, he came back home. After a short while, they diagnosed him with AIDS. His whole life has been destroyed. He will make tawbah, Allah will forgive him. In akhirat, inshallah, he will get high levels also. But the effects in this dunya will not just be removed like that. So this person also, unfortunately, people were looking down upon him. So eventually he moved to another province. He went away. So one, like the thought always comes to a person that the brother was a pious person, was a good person. But how come such halat and conditions came in his house? So one is not obeying the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not having his proper parda, etc. But there's another reason which was more harmful than this, which may Allah protect and save all of us. And that was badgumani, bad thoughts. So this person, he was like a committee member of the masjid. And my ustad was teaching for many, many years. He thought he gave khidmat for 25, 27 years. And he also was the ustad of that person. But eventually that person became now a trustee member. So he was very, very hard on my ustad. And he made certain laws against him. Made his life a bit difficult. So eventually my ustad left the town with a very, very broken heart. He was very, very hurt at how the people treated him, and he left the town. And we do not know that baddua which comes up from a person's heart. So anyhow, because of that, in my opinion, because of the disrespect which he showed to his ustad, then eventually all of this happened, that eventually his wife was taken away from him. And what a life, eventually he passed away as a very, very broken-hearted person. So Allah protect and save all of us. Never ever trust our nafs. Never ever feel that I am okay now, that I am very, very pious, that I have reached a certain level, I've made so much of ibadat, I can do this, I've got so much of sohbat, I've so much of charity, I give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only when a person leaves this world, then a person can be contented. As long as we are living in this world, never ever be happy and content with ourselves that I am a very, very pious person. Our akabir and our elders, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi, one day one person wrote a letter to him. And this person says that, Hazrat, my daughter-in-law has passed away. And she was a very, very good girl, very, very pious, very khidmat guzar, a lot of khidmat she made of me. And in the prime of her youth, 18, 20, and he's writing, and what a woman she was, she had this quality, she had that quality, she had that quality. Hazrat, I'm very, very pareshan, I'm worried, this woman has passed away. So Hazrat wrote back to him, he says that, I think your relationship with your daughter-in-law wasn't correct. You must make tawbah for this. Your relationship with your daughter-in-law wasn't correct, you must make tawbah. So anyhow, there were two ulama there also, they were Bayt Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah. Hazrat, I think you were very harsh in this letter. You're writing back to him that you've got an incorrect relationship with your daughter-in-law. I mean, he's writing that he's missing his daughter-in-law. So Hazrat Amir rahmatullah said, no. See in the letter, the way he's written this letter, see this point he's mentioned here. Why is he writing this word so many times? This shows there's something in the person's heart. So I don't, anyhow, Hazrat Amir rahmatullah gave him a long bayan. And this person eventually wrote back to Hazrat Amir rahmatullah and he said, Hazrat, what you are saying is 100% correct. My relationship with my daughter-in-law wasn't 100% correct. I had a bit of lust and desire for her. So Allah protect in all of us and save us from the evil of our nafs. But then Hazrat Amir rahmatullah said another ajeeb thing. He said that he told his people, see, I don't even trust myself. He says, people, many times ladies write letters to me. When they write letters to me and I have to answer them, I find a difference in my nafs when I'm answering a lady and when I'm answering a man. So after I write the letter to a lady, and plus in Hazrat Amir rahmatullah was very, very particular, the ladies must write, there must be a mahram signature on the letter also. It was very, very particular. And this was just a letter, not a phone call, not a SMS sending or an email message. Just a letter. And a letter takes so long sometimes to reach a person. But Hazrat Amir rahmatullah said, I don't trust myself. I can actually feel a difference in my nafs when I'm writing an answer to a lady. So he says, therefore, after writing a letter, I make a lot of tawbah after that day. So I'm just showing you how our kabir and our elders were so particular, watching the evil of their nafs. The person must never become complacent and feel, I'm okay now. بَلِ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا وَلَوْ أَلْقَى مَعَذِيرًا. Man, he has full insight over his nafs, even though he'll put forward many, many excuses. No, but I'm just doing, I've got no evil intentions. And he knows exactly I'm getting some kind of enjoyment, I'm getting some kind of pleasure. But eventually he put all of these kinds of excuses forward. One day, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi was giving a bayan. And in the bayan he said, by the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's grace, today you're going to hear such a point which you people never heard before. And then he went forward a bit and he stopped. And he said, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. That firstly, this was actually an action of pride of mine. I wanted to show the people how much of knowledge I got. So I said, that you never heard this point before. But then to cover it up, I said, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the fadl of Allah shukr, this is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, because I have done this guna and the sin in open, so also I'm making tawbah of it in open. So imagine now these people are of a very high level, like immediately see themselves, that no, I'm cheating myself. The Hazrat always mentions that a person must be sincere to himself. Not many times we are munafiqs, hypocrites within ourselves. We try to cover ourselves, we try to justify ourselves. We do so many gunas and sins, so many wrongs we do. And a person knows within the bottom of his heart he is doing wrong. And the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes, when a person does an evil action, and a black dot comes in his heart. If he makes tawbah, the black dot is removed. But if he continues in that line, then eventually it covers the whole person's heart. It becomes black, black, black. The person doesn't even realize he's doing wrong. So, for example, I was reading one article, one alim wrote, he says that I've met many, many youngsters that when they commit zina, fornication, adultery, they feel very, very bad the first time. But if they don't make tawbah and they continue second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, eventually it becomes a game for them. They don't have any feelings thereafter that they are doing wrong also. And eventually a person starts to justify his actions. That, you know what, I'm doing it because of this here. I'm doing it because of this. So a very, very easy way to save ourselves from the evils of our nafs, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself made dua. In the khutbah also he read now, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. O Allah, we seek protection from you, from the evil of our nafs, and from our evil actions also. So the first thing is, مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا. A person must realize, I've got a lot of shir and evil in my nafs, and I'm very, very evil. And I must be always very, very careful. Yes, once a person leaves this world, he leaves this dunya, then a person can be content and happy. But as long as a person is living in this world, nafs is always with a person. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned one story, which comes in the Masnawi of Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi. He says that one day there was a person, he was a hunter, so he went into the mountains. He went hunting. And in the mountains he found one snake. And because it was midwinter, so the snake had frozen, become completely hard. So he was lying there, so he lifted up the snake and he brought it back home. And when he brought it back home, he showed all the people, see the snake I caught. I managed to hunt the snake, I caught the snake. So the people, oh, mashallah, wow, I said, you know, like he's trying to show off what a brave person he was, what a great person he is, how he managed to get the snake. Then Hazrat says that after a short while, what happened was when the sun came out, and then the snow eventually started melting. And now the snake, life came back into the snake. And now the snake started moving. So the minute this happened, immediately this person now he was the first person to run away. So Hazrat says that every person also is nafs. And sometimes nafs appears to be dead. A person comes in the khanka, he stays for 40 days, he stays for 30 days. A person goes in jamaat, 3 months, 4 months in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes to a madrasa, there's a very good environment there. A person thinks, now I'm okay. I'm very pious. Now I've got desires. I don't even think about women also. 3 months, my mind is pure. I'm a very, very good person. Now when he comes out, he doesn't take guard. He's not watchful over himself. And eventually nafs and shaitan catches a person. And where they take a person and destroy a person. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said one beautiful statement. He said, اِقْدَعُوا هَذِي النُّفُوسِ عَنْ شَهْوَاتِهَا فَإِنَّا طَلْعَةٌ. Restrain your souls from their desires. Because they are constantly in search for fulfillment of desires. And he says, وَإِنَّكُمْ أَلَّا تَقْدَعُوهَا تَنْزِعُ بِكُمْ إِلَى شَرِّ فَيَةٍ. If you do not restrain your souls from their desires, they will drag you to a terrible end. They will destroy a person. And then he says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْحَقَّ سَقِيلٌ مَرِيءٌ. That the truth, the right thing, it's a bit heavy on the nafs. It's difficult upon a person's nafs. But the final result of it is praiseworthy. You will get great, great enjoyment in the dunya also. For a short while, a person controls his nafs, he controls his desires. But the results, forever they will be good. And on the other hand, a person follows his desires. It's very, very light. It's very, very nice to follow one's desires. But for a short while, a person enjoys himself. And then the result of it is disastrous thereafter. So he says, وَإِنَّ الْبَاطِلْ خَفِيفٌ وَبِيءٌ. Batil and falsehood is very, very light. It's very, very light on a person. A person enjoys it. But it's disastrous. The final result of it is disastrous. And then he says, وَتَرْكُ الْخَطِيئَةَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُعَالَجَةِ التَّوْبَةِ. Abstaining from sin is better than treating it with tawbah thereafter. Stay away from sin from the starting. Don't get involved in the sin and then try to treat it. He says, رُبَّ نَزْرَةٍ زَرَعَتْ شَهْوَةً. Many a gaze gave rise to passion. And وَشَهْوَةُ سَاعَةٍ أَوْرَثَتْ حُزْنًا طَوِيلًا. Shahwat and passion for a single moment, it caused a lengthy grief to a person. For the rest of his life, a person grieves. Why did I follow my desires? Why did I do this here? So may Allah protect and save all of us from the evils of our nafs. A person must always have this fikr and concern. Never ever trust ourselves that now I've reached a certain level, I'm okay. And especially when it comes, the ulama mentioned, especially for the salikin, those who are going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have got some piety in their lives, they should be very, very careful of women folk. Very, very careful of women folk. Because as Hakim Sahib rahmatullah alayhi mentioned, that when a person starts making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the heart of a person becomes soft. It becomes conducive to love. Because he wants to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart becomes soft. And when a person's heart becomes soft, he gets more attracted to beauty. And there's a lot of beauty Allah has placed in women. So very, very easily a person gets affected by women. So our mashayikh mentioned, especially women and young boys, a person has to be very, very careful. He doesn't fall into them. And how many incidents we hear of people, pious, pious people also, but how shaitan takes a person and he destroys a person. May Allah protect and save us. Just one worker, one person, he was working in a certain business. And he says, I'm a pious person. He's an Arab person. He says, I'm a pious person. I perform my salah. I'm a good person. And I'm a married person also. And I've got no intention to do evil. But I had this one woman in my office. She was a worker, co-worker. And she used to work very, very well. And I was really amazed by her, how she used to work. The way she used to, she was very, very serious in her work. And without knowing it, my heart suddenly started pulling towards her. I was attracted towards her. I went a couple of times, I spoke to her, tried to speak to her, and I say she rebuffed me every time. And each time she pushed me away, my desire for her increased and increased. And eventually I thought to myself, hey, what am I doing? I'm a married person. What am I doing to my life? So, but this is how shaitan tricks and deceives a person. May Allah protect and save all of us from the evil of our nafs. A person must never ever be happy. And always we should make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah ta'ala, protect us from the evil of our nafs. One easy way also is that never ever do anything ourselves. Allah give us tawfiq. That always consult with our mashayikh. Inshallah, in that day, there's a lot of hifazat and protection. And may Allah give myself tawfiq first. That we also when we seek advice from our mashayikh, we shouldn't be like munafiqs and hypocrites. But what the exact, as Mawlana was mentioning before the Zuhar Salah also, that many times we only mention the good things. What we want the mashayikh to hear. So then it's obvious for a person, his Islam will not take place. A person will not be corrected. Because a person is only mentioning the good things. But example, every person knows in his own heart, the evils lurking in a person's heart. And look at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What a great Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What he says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I don't regard my nafs as bari. My nafs is free. I'm a very, very pious person. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّ. Nafs by its very nature is ammara, isme mubalagha. It is always commanding a person towards evil. That's the nature of nafs. No matter how one poet says so beautifully, that is nafs par bharosa mat kar is nafs ammara ka zahid agar che wo farishta bhi ho jaye usse badguman rehna. Never ever have a trust over your nafs ammara, your evil nafs, O friend of Allah, a person who's going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if your nafs becomes angel, still have badgumani, bad thoughts about it. So this is the first step of our Islam and our reformation. May Allah give myself and all of us, that a person realizes that my worst enemy is nafs. And I have to make a lot of effort on my nafs. And especially when it comes to women folk, when it comes to the evils of our nafs. And example, working in our workplaces, we have women. Or even if a person is an alim of deen, and a woman phones him, Maulana, I've got a problem. Just that voice of that woman is sufficient to turn a person. A person's whole mind can go. Just that one voice of that woman, the way she speaks, the way she talks, the way she looks at a person can, his whole iman can be lost because of that. And how many cases we have of people who lost everything just because of that one gaze. It can be a Maulana sub also. As I mentioned, it doesn't mean you're a Maulana or you're a Sufi or you're a Tablighi, that now there's no nafs. Shaitan attacks even more to that person. So we have to be very, very careful always regarding our nafs. So this is one thing, may Allah protect and save all of us. The other important point which I wanted to mention was on anger. Anger also is one quality. Allah protect and save all of us. A person gets some dini, fikr concern, but still, as our mashayikh mentioned, when it comes at home, how is our anger? A person has got no control over his anger. Hazrat Maulana Masoolah rahmatullah, I heard a while ago, one of his muta'alliqin mentioned, Hazrat Maulana Masoolah rahmatullah, he was very, very particular about this. Hazrat Maulana Masoolah rahmatullah used to mention, that anger mustn't even come to you. You see, one is qazm means to control your anger. You see, no, don't worry about controlling your anger. Ghussa pas bina aye. Never mind controlling. It means you have anger is coming into you, and then you're controlling it. There are great, great virtues. Obviously, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, a person who controls his anger, Allah will fill that person's heart with aman and iman, with safety and peace of mind, and Allah will give that person iman. A person who controls his anger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's in this dunya, he will get that benefit. In the akhirat, a person who controls his anger when he's very, very angry, Allah will control his anger from that person on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will remove his anger. A person who controls his anger in this world, Allah will call him on the day of Qiyamah. And in front of all the people, Allah will say, choose whichever khura'in you want to now. Each time you control your anger, you'll get one khur. Maybe my understanding, wallahu alam, is that Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that a person will get angry with is his wife. So, that is why in place of that, each time you're going to get angry with your wife, just control your anger. And think that this woman, I just make a little bit sabr with her, in place of that, I'm getting a khura'in of Jannah. But however, when you're thinking of that, don't start smiling. And you think, what is smiling? I'm thinking of my hur. You say, oh, then you've got bigger problems after that. So a person who controls his anger, Allah will give that there. But Hazrat Maulana Masoolah rahmatullah used to say, ghussa pas bina ayah, that you mustn't even get anger. The person must reach a level of hilm and forbearance. We have to make effort on this. This is what the Islah Jalsa is, for us to realize our faults and our weaknesses. Then some of the asatida in the madrasa used to get angry with the students. They want to punish them. So Hazrat Maulana Masoolah rahmatullah said a very ajeeb thing. He used to say, what are you teaching? What are you people teaching? So yeah, we are teaching the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, right, very good. You are teaching the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're teaching the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you must teach it in the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now you show me a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit the students. You show me the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam punished them and he shouted them. How did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach? So if you want to teach the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you must teach it in the sunnah tariqah. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it. If you're teaching your own things, what you want, your lessons, what you feel, then you can teach it in your way, in your tariqah. But yeah, you're not teaching your own things. You are teaching the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you must teach it in the way which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught it. So this is a very high level, obviously, a person Allah give us tawfiq, that we start working towards it there. And Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say that every student comes, he said, how did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach? Every person came with their ability and their capabilities, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them how much they could bear. And then he would send them away. And people benefited according to their levels. So he said, everybody won't benefit the same way. Everyone won't be a first class student or a second class student. Some will be weak also, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them also. This was the sunnah tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah give us tawfiq also. A person learns to control his anger. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, one person was very, very upset at home. His wife was troubling him. So he came to complain to Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, my wife is troubling me a lot. So when he came to the house of Umar radiallahu anhu, so Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was married to the granddaughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an amazing story also. Many times the Shias, people who have got hatred for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, say the Sahaba, there's a lot of differences. But this is one very, very clear proof the love of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu. That Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was married to the daughter of Ali and Fatima radiallahu anhuma. Hazrat Umm Kulthum, the granddaughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the historical fact. Some Shias now to answer this here. So what they say is that no, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu couldn't say anything. So what he did, he made dua, then when Jinnat came in the form of Umm Kulthum and he got married to the Jinnat. So stupid things. But anyhow, so they were married. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was married to Umm Kulthum. So this person comes to the house and Umm Kulthum, she's shouting Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. So he was shocked. So he said, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he's getting shouting from his wife. So what? He's going to solve my problems. So anyhow, he started going away. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu saw him going away. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu called him back. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, what happened? He said, no, I got a problem at home. But I see you got the same problem here. So what must, what's the solution for this? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, you see, this woman has got many, many rights over me. So much she has done, so much of khidmat she does for me. So much, what a good person she is. He says, number one, firstly, she's here the whole day, she's making khidmat of me. She looks after my house. What a great thing it is for it. The whole day she's staying in the house for me, and she's looking after my house. Secondly, whenever I get desires to fulfill, my wife fulfills my desires so that my gaze doesn't fall on any haram. I don't go towards any evil. What a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this is. Number three, she looks after my children. She brings them up. What sacrifices a woman makes. And if any of us try for once, Karateev Sahib Rahmatullah Ali mentioned one waqiya of one person, he always used to complain about his wife, that you woman do nothing at home. You do nothing at home, always complaining about his wife. One day he came home, the food wasn't ready, he started shouting one way, that you guys, the food is never ever ready on time. Very, very upset. So she said, you know what, tomorrow you work at home, let me go to the fields and I'll do the work there. He said, yeah, I'll do nothing at home as it is, so don't worry, I'll do it. So the next day, she went to the fields, and 12 o'clock she's waiting now, he's supposed to bring the lunch to her. He never brought the lunch. So she said, let me go check up at home. She goes back home and she sees everything in a mess. Her husband is sitting on the floor, his hand is on his head and he's crying. So what happened? She said, no, actually I was putting something on the stove. One child started crying. I ran to look after the child. The water overboiled. And then this happened. And the child, he got messed. And then I couldn't make the bed. Problem upon problem. Then the cow came in the house and I couldn't control that. Everything is haywire, upside down. I just sat down defeated and I'm crying, and now I realize and appreciate what you do for me. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, may Allah give us tawfiq to appreciate our woman folk also, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, so much my wife, so much of khidmat she does for me, but she's looking after my house, she's cooking for me my meals, and in those times she's washing my clothing also, and she gives my clothing when I come. In today's time maybe they don't wash our clothing, but then the house is kept clean, the clothing is hung there. So he says, all of these favors she's doing upon me. So how can I not be a good person to her? Sometimes I have to tolerate. She'll shout me, she'll tell me something, she's got a right. This is why I must learn. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. I was reading this morning, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah alayhi, also he mentions, he says that me also when I come home, if my wife is busy, I don't get upset with her, start shouting her, the food is not ready. Why is not this here? I go and help myself if the food is ready. If it's not ready, I start doing some other work. I get some other work. I ask my wife, can I help and assist you in the house? This is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I sit and help my wife. He says, sometimes I come home at night and my wife is sleeping. And I feel so happy in my heart. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, at the end of his life, he wasn't getting much sleep at night. He says, sometimes I'm tossing and turning in my bed. And I look at my wife and she's fast asleep. And I feel so happy in my heart. Alhamdulillah, oh Allah. At least my wife is sleeping nicely. With me and you will wake up. You know what? I can't get sleep, man. Can you get me some tablets? Or we'll try to wake her up. But Hazrat Rahmatullah said, I used to get happy actually. That at least my wife is sleeping nicely. She's getting a comfortable sleep. So I feel happy. You see, if my wife had to be awake, I should have double parishani, two worries. That I'm not sleeping and my wife is not sleeping. But we normally will, a wife, she can't sleep. She must make sure she stays up for us until we fall asleep. This is our kabir. What a big heart they had. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability also that we appreciate our wives. This is another aspect of our Islam, reformation. That anger, a person has to learn to control. How Mawlana Rasulullah rahmatullah said, Ghussa fas bina ayah. A person mustn't even bring that anger. He mustn't have that anger with him. Such an effort a person must make. So one is our lust and our desires. A person has to bring that under control. And one very, very easy way is that follow the Sharia, the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No intermingling. Make parda alive in our families, in our homes. As I was speaking to one student, I told him, how come you go to this auntie's house? He's my auntie. I said, how is your auntie? He said, no, my father's, my mother's brother's wife. So I said, is that your auntie? He said, hey, Maulana, it's very hard to make parda in a family. I told him, no, you have to make some effort. In the beginning, it's difficult. But anything starts off, there's difficulty. But then a person makes some sacrifice, and then alhamdulillah, Allah makes it very, very easy. In our families, a person must never ever trust his nafs. How many incidents we have, as I mentioned, that one story of the brother-in-law and sister-in-law, what fitnah it led to. And there are many, many other cases like this here. Sometimes it doesn't lead to that evil, but the nafs is within a person. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. O people of Iman, every one of you must make tawbah, especially when it comes to the matters of desire and lust. Because nobody is safe from there. A person can be 70 years old, he can be 80 years old, he can be 90 years old. And a person is talking to the auntie, 18-year-old lady, 20-year-old lady. And ladies are very gullible, unfortunately. So they feel, no, this uncle. They'll even call him Dada, Papa. But he's sitting and looking at her with what big, big eyes. And when she's walking, turning around the way, he's looking at her. And he's fantasizing about her. He can't do anything at all. As I was going to say, he's colder than a deep freezer also. He's completely useless. But still at that moment, the mind is playing with a person. There was one incident, a Muslim family, where the family member, or the person used to come in the house, he raped the 11-year-old girl in the house. Then eventually they took him to court. And what incident. But when we are not fulfilling the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how nafs and shaitan play with a person, they destroy a person. So this is one thing, nafs and shaitan, be very, very careful. Secondly, our actions and our anger, a person must learn to control. Regarding time, just mention 1-2 points there, inshallah. Regarding time, Allah give us tawfiq. We appreciate our time which we have got in this world. Life in this world is going very, very fast. Ulama say two times a person will regret that he wasted his time. One is in the qabr, and a person will see when he's about to pass away, he'll regret. حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونِ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ كَلَّا. At that time, he will desire to go back in the world so he can use his time correctly. And the other is on the day of Qiyamah. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. Allah says, I gave you enough time in this world, you wasted your time. So something very practical for us. One person says that once I went to a doctor's surgery and I was sitting down there. And while I was sitting there, I looked around, some people were reading the magazines, some people were reading some other books, some people were having the discussions. But there was one youngster who stood out, and I looked at him and I was very, very amazed. He was sitting there, sitting with the Quran Sharif and reading the Quran Sharif. So then the thought came to me that we are spending 1 hour here maybe in the doctor's surgery, 1.5 hours. But look at this boy, how he's using his time. Normally we'll sit here, we will waste time. But he had the Quran Sharif. He said, can we take out 1 hour every day to read Quran Sharif? But there he had a wonderful opportunity to read Quran Sharif. And he says, as soon as I left the surgery, and I thought to myself that every day, so many chances we get. Example, a person is working in Durban. So every day he has to travel 45 minutes. In that 45 minutes, if he takes his Quran Sharif with him, he can read one para or two paras a day. One para going, one para coming back. Two paras going, two paras coming back. In 1 week, he can make one khatam. And normally a person doesn't get that time. But there he's got a wonderful opportunity. How much of his time can be saved? I was reading one article. They say that if in a country of 10 million people, if the people waste 1 hour a day, that is 1,400 years of work. 1,400 years of work. If just 10 million people waste 1 hour a day, 1,400 years of work has been lost. So much of work would have been taken in that time. So how time is so valuable, or Kabir has mentioned, that time is something which is very, very valuable and is the most easiest thing to be wasted also. So Allah give us tawfiq also that we value our time. Allah Ta'ala has taken a qasam in the Quran Sharif about time. So that's the third point. And the fourth point is our company. Always stay in the company of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of my friends, Mulana Intiaz Katrala, he mentioned a very beautiful example to us, which he heard from Mulana Ahmad Latab, down barakatuh. He says that there was a youngster, he went outside to play, he was playing with his kite. So he held the kite, and the kite was flying in the sky. And there's a rope tied to the kite, he was holding it, playing with it. But the kite thought that, you know what, I want to go higher. This person is keeping me down, is controlling me, I want to go higher than this. So what the kite decided to do was, it decided to cut itself off from the string. So the minute it cut itself off from the string, it started flying higher. But for a short while, and then eventually it came crashing down. If the kite remained with the string, sometimes the boy would have taken it higher, sometimes brought it lower, but the thing would have remained in the air. Similarly, those people who want to cut themselves off from mashayikh, from our elders, so they are cutting themselves off from the string. So eventually they might go a bit higher, but eventually they will come crashing down. On the other hand, those people who keep themselves connected to the ulama, to the mashayikh. Inshallah, this person, his iman will be safe also. Allah will protect him from many, many evils. And if we keep a correct contact with our mashayikh and our akabir, so this is very, very important. Our company, ulama say, in the Quran Sharif, Allah mentions, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be biting his hands and crying. Ya laytani lam attakhid fulanun khalila. Why did I take so-and-so person as a friend? He just took me off the path, the right path, and he destroyed me. So this is our company is very, very important. And the last thing is our heart. Our Hazrat mentioned many, many times, وَحُشِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. At the time of death, it's not what is on your tongue, what bayans you gave, what you spoke in this world, but what's in the heart of a person. As Mawlana Umar Saparan Puri Rahmatullah used to give the beautiful example of the parrot. That the parrot, it has learned many, many words, and it's uttering the kalimas, it's uttering Quran, it's uttering nizams. But one day when the cage was left open and the cat came there and it was about to catch hold of the parrot, then the parrot, because it was not in the heart of the parrot, the Quran Sharif, so the parrot at that time forgot all its nizams, it forgot all its Quran, it forgot everything. And the original sound in the heart of the parrot came out, te, te, te. So in our heart, if Allah is not there, if the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not there, and the love of dunya is there, and all other things are in our heart, at the time of death, this is what is going to come out. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give myself and all of us tawfiq and ability that we have this fikr and concern for our Islam. Be very, very careful, watchful of ourselves. A person must never become complacent that I'm okay now. But this is a continuous effort throughout our lives. Always stay in the company of the mashayikh, the buzrugani, in the awliya Allah, and become sincere to ourselves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant myself firstly and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.